We are a proud member of the 143 Podcast Network.
How's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and you are listening to the House of Indie Podcast.
And I'm sitting here with Brian Silverbacks. He's got out a new book out, right?
Loggerhead just hit the shelves this week.
Loggerhead. That one, it literally yesterday, as I'm recording this, the book hit the shelves there, and man, I haven't been able to get my copy because it's in the mail. I spaced it because of all these crazy COVID delays and all that stuff. So I just grabbed mine yesterday because I was like, oh man, it's out. What the heck? I can't believe that I spaced it. Mine's in the mail. It'll be here in a few days. So I have not read it yet.
Good old Jack Burton says in a time like this.
What's that?
The comic book is in the mail. Jack Burton and, you know, the whole Big Trouble Little China, like that movie is just so badass. And Jack Burton had that tell him the check is in the mail. And so when you said it's in the mail, that's immediately where my head went, was to Big Trouble Little China.
So, man. All right. So first off, everybody wants to know the log line for Loggerhead. And I don't know if that's the pun intended.
I was asked to come up. So here's the way this panned out, right? So I was going to do a Kickstarter for Loggerhead. Uh-huh. And then Scout said, hey, before you do a Kickstarter, why don't you just bring it over here to Scout and publish it with us? And I was like, fuck yeah, man. Why not?
Yeah.
So I did all that and I was like, let's do it. So I canceled the Kickstarter. You know, it never took off. And then maybe a couple weeks later, I get a message or a phone call that says, hey, what's the log line? Like, what is this little blurb that you want to put into Diamond to tell people about the book? And I was like, oh, shit, I don't know. It's so the idea that I'm working with is so complex because what I'm trying to create is more of a world. Mm-hmm. And Loggerhead is just a very small piece of this much larger world that I'm trying to build. So I was like, how much information do I need to give them? So what I think it's boiled down to is World War III has happened. There was some nuclear stuff. There was some alien stuff. And during the mix, there's part of the world that is, shit. See, this isn't even like, I can't even elevator pitch this right. I don't know. All right, I'll be more specific.
It's all good.
Loggerhead lives in the bayou where maybe some chemicals and stuff went down during the war. And now he's treated much like the story of Bigfoot. Like,
okay.
People swear they've seen him. They can, I think I saw Loggerhead the other day and I heard he did this and I heard he did that. So he's more of like a mythic legend.
Okay.
And then in this book, it's obvious that he's not. So it's going to be like a group of people encountering something they thought was just a wives' tale.
That's really cool, man. Because when I heard, because I follow you on Facebook and all over the place, Facebook, Instagram, that's awesome. So and I watch your live streams and stuff like that, and I watched you actually do the cover of this book, man. And I was like, oh man, I got to get that. I put it in my pool way back when, and then all this crazy stuff happened. I had to.
So let's talk about that for a second, because so my Kickstarter was supposed to launch. Like, I was supposed to activate my Kickstarter on the day after Valentine's Day. That's what I had told myself.
Okay.
So I built it up. So Scout contacted me at the beginning of February before I even got to that date, and they said we're going to release it in May.
Okay.
So if they said, if we acquire the property now, it's going to be, we have to get the stuff together for Diamond. Mm-hmm. We have to get the orders all in. So it won't hit shelves till May. That was their plan.
All right.
And then COVID shut everything down and May came and went. And then I was asking Scout, I was like, what's going on? And they're like, well, we don't know because Diamond's now shut down.
Yeah.
And then I was told June, right? I said, all right, well, I got pushed back a month. So I had done a lot of behind the scenes trying to promote, hey, go out for Loggerhead, May. I was sending emails and press kits out. And then June. And then so now I was lightly saying June, June, June. And then it turned out to be the first week of July. And I'm like, fuck it. Just go get it when I tell you.
Yeah, man. And that's
it could be backfiring, though. Like I spent a lot of money putting together a press kit and calling in favors from people to make sure that when May hit, people knew that it was going to be in the store.
Yeah. Yeah, and I watched you do that throughout all your, because you documented it through all your socials and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was trying to make it big, man.
And it was, and you were getting me excited with all that stuff too. And I was like, yes, I'm ready for this, man. I'm ready for Loggerhead. And then here comes the pandemic, and then just everything stopped. And not only did it stop, I had to stop my subscription because I'm like, well, if everything's in a pile up, man, I don't know how I'm gonna be able to pay for it. Number one, when it comes out, and then with all this crazy stuff, my wife is pregnant, and her doctors pulled her from work and all this stuff, and they're like, you can't go out. Everybody's got to basically stay inside before they even told everybody to quarantine. So our doctors kind of quarantined us.
Yeah.
Before anybody else. So I was like, well,
crap. And that's when the paycheck stops.
And yeah, exactly. My wife got pulled from her job. I was the only one working. I only had one job at the time, and I was just doing merchandising stuff, dude. So it wasn't making ends meet. You know what I mean? It was hard. Your paycheck
wasn't going to carry it.
Exactly. So
I'm not going to dive into your business, but man, you seem to be in good spirits, so I'm guessing shit's kind of working out.
We're doing good now, man. I've got three jobs, and we're moving there now. So everything's looking up. Well,
thank you for having me. Like I don't know if people that want to get shit done have to do the work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're probably not getting paid to do this podcast. You're doing this simply to move forward and be someone of influence in the community, and you're doing it out of passion.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's cool stuff, man.
This is something that I love to do. I do it as a hobby, trying to make something out of it. It's just in these last few months that I've been seeing it kind of, coming to fruition at the way that I actually envisioned it. So,
right on. I mean, dude, you've got captive ears. There's people stuck around and don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Right now, podcasting is got a huge uptick right now. So it's pretty crazy. So anybody who wants to start a podcast, man, hit me up. No.
Yeah. Well, how about this? How about we just say anybody that watches this, be sure to subscribe to your podcast. What's the name of the podcast?
Yeah. The House of Indie podcast. So head on over there and check it all out. But hey, what's up?
Where are we at? Are we on iTunes? Are we on Stitcher?
Everywhere. You can find me
on iHeartRadio?
Yes. Anywhere you can find a podcast, you just type it in. I'm there.
Yeah, right on. That's where how we do it.
Yeah. So, but we're here to talk about you, man. There's enough about me.
No, dude, fucking let's share it, man.
So, okay. So
that's one thing I hated when I had a podcast was I wanted to talk about some of the cool stuff that I had going on, but I was the host of the podcast. So it was kind of like, I don't want to be selfish. So I want you to tell us a little bit of cool shit that you've got going on with the House of Indie podcast.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you doing that. We got a ton of cool stuff coming up. We talk to a lot of great creators like you, man. So, and it's really, really a lot of fun.
I'm happy to be here.
Along the lines, you've had a podcast. Yeah. Look, that's a good one too. I saw you were doing that one on one of your socials, and I was like, that's going to come out sick. And it looks great in print, man. But
I did have a podcast that I ran for a year, and I didn't go into the podcast with a solid idea or format. So halfway through, I changed the name of the podcast, which is never good, you know, when you're trying to build an audience. And then one week I've got, you know, it started off real strong. And then it got to the point where I was just saying, does anybody want to talk about their Kickstarter? And it felt like my podcast had just turned into people pitching shit. And I wanted us to be invested in stuff.
Yeah.
And I was finding myself struggling to find guests, and I'd just be like, hey, does anybody want to talk? And it wouldn't be people that I knew. Mm-hmm. I didn't know shit about what they were selling. And I didn't want my listeners to feel like I'm forcing stuff down their throat every time. I wanted them to come and have a good time.
Yeah. Understandable, man. Hey, but that can be a podcast all in itself, though, man.
it could be, but there's a lot of work, dude.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know the editing, the audio, the uploading, the advertising, the booking guests, all that shit, and at the same time trying to fucking make Loggerhead.
Man, that's got to be. And then on top of it all, you've been an extra in tons and tons of TV shows, right? Right.
So I wouldn't say tons, but I did get started. I think I got started. I'm in Atlanta or the Metro Atlanta area. Yeah. So sometimes bills need to get paid, and I would look in the Facebook group and I would say, "Oh, they're casting construction workers for this movie." So I don't know what the movie is.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, "Hey, I look like a construction worker." And they said, "Come on down." And next thing you know, I'm sitting there fucking chilling with Channing Tatum, and this was my first time ever doing it.
Wow.
And we ate steaks and we ate chicken, and Daniel Craig's walking right here. And I'm like, if it's like this all the time, this is pretty BA.
Right.
The pay sucks. Cool, man.
Oh, I'm sure.
The pay sucks.
But it's like you said, you do it for the passion, right? Do stuff like that for the passion.
Well, you do it for the stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Like, how many people can say that they were on a finale of The Walking Dead and got their ear blown off, you know? Yeah. That's just a story that a lot of people can't say.
That's freaking cool, dude. I'm really, really horrible, and I have not finished The Walking Dead yet, like the last few seasons. So I'm like super far behind. Okay.
Season 8 finale. So when Negan has like 500 guys on a hilltop.
Okay.
And they've got Rick and them pinned down. I don't know if it's a spoiler. Maybe it's a spoiler for you. But Eugene messed with all the bullets, so all the guns backfired.
I think I remember that episode, dude. I think that's
when the M16 backfired and blew the side of my face off.
Oh, I think I remember that scene, dude. That's awesome. That's freaking cool, dude. So what else? Yeah, I know you've done some extra work there. I know where else have you done some work?
Oh, let's see. The last thing I did was for this show called The Outsider.
Yeah.
It's a Stephen King book adaptation. For anyone that doesn't know, I was a police officer in real life.
Okay.
So I apply for the roles that say police or military experience because former military and former police. Mm-hmm. So those roles, so I'll put in for those roles and generally get them until I got to be too fat. So, so I'll apply for them. So in The Outsider, I played one of the precinct cops that's just walking around delivering paperwork while all the main actors are trying to figure out what's killing the people.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And I saw when you were posting for all that stuff, too. There was some really great pictures came out of there, dude.
I try to have fun, man. You know, they don't want you to have phones and you can't have them out. And but, dude, like, watching Jason Bateman, because this was his project. Like, so he directed the first two episodes, and just, you know, you see him on screen and he's the funny man and he's doing change up and all this other stuff.
But
that guy knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
One of the coolest moments I've ever had was on the set of a movie that was not good. Undercover Brother 2. So I was a henchman in Undercover Brother 2. Oh, yeah. But I was watching the DP, the director of photography, set up the scene that we were all in. And man, it was like watching a composer, you know, just telling everybody, dude. And I told him after the scene was all done, I was like, man, I really appreciated watching you do the magic that you do. I'd never met him before or anything, but just the way he commanded all of the elements on set. Dude, it to watch people do stuff they're good at is so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be fun, man.
And for me, it's all about networking, too. Like, if I meet a creative person, so this type of world that I'm in, like, I've done movie posters for independent films.
Wow.
Like, I've done some Photoshop work for some independent productions and stuff like that, all from just networking and meeting people and being on the set of this or asking questions inside of Facebook groups and stuff. So networking is how you will succeed.
Oh yeah. That's basically how I run this podcast, man.
And networking. It doesn't hurt being cool.
Yeah.
Like, being cool, being level-headed and not being that guy. Never be that guy.
Yeah, I think I am that guy. So not only have you done a lot of stuff in film, you've also done tons of cover art, right?
I have. That's how we got started. Like, so when I started doing conventions in like 2015, I was print guy. I was just fan art guy. I'll draw Deadpool. I'll draw Harley Quinn and I'll put them up and then customers will come and buy them. And I was thinking to myself, like, well, I want to have my character.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to just continue to take all these other people's characters and make money and stuff. Like, I want to, what my goal is, to walk through an artist alley or something and see somebody selling a print of a character that I made. Like, that's how you know.
Yeah.
So I started reevaluating after a couple of years of doing the fan art stuff. I started trying to find ways into the true comic book world, and the most fun is going to be had in the indie comics.
Where
it's not Spider-Man, it's not Batman, it's not issue number 700. It's a three-part miniseries about a shark, you know, that turns into a heavy metal demon hunter. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Some craziness.
Yeah, man. And and I got to tell you, my wife is always making fun of me because I'm always bringing up Metal Shark, bro.
Volume 2 is out now, by the way.
Volume 2 is, and it's, that one is on the way, too, because I picked up the first issue of Volume 2, and it's in my, it's right there with your book coming in the mail.
But yeah, so the team that I've met, the team, I think I've met two of the three teammates for Metal Shark, bro. Yeah. Dude, awesome guys.
Yeah, they're cool guys.
And so here's how Brian got started.
Okay.
You ready for the story?
Let's hear it.
All right. So the story is, I know that me drawing a picture of Deadpool Marvel's not going to give two squirts of piss about some guy on Instagram drawing Deadpool. So I was like, well, let's find some indie stuff. So I was looking on Indiegogo. I was looking at small publishers, and I was good. I told myself my goal is to do fan art of these lesser known characters, and maybe something will happen. So it just so happens that when I scratched my first lottery ticket, it said winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Right? Okay.
So I drew a picture. I found Metal Shark Bro. I found two pictures of Metal Shark Bro. And I was like, all right, that seems cool looking. So I drew this fan art piece of Metal Shark Bro. I sent it to the Metal Shark Bro Instagram page and Facebook page. And I said, hey, no charge, but I drew this and colored it. If you want to use it for a cover, you don't owe me anything.
Wow.
And they said, dude, that's magical artwork. Thank you for it, but we don't have any room for a cover. We've already, like, our allotment is up for covers.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, cool. Thank you for, you know, putting out cool stuff. The next day is when Scout contacted me and said, hey, I like the work that you did for that Metal Shark Bro. Can we use that as a cover for our store exclusive variant?
Wow.
And that is how everything started.
That's awesome, dude. That is super cool. Cause I recently had all three of the guys from Metal Shark Bro on the show, and they talked a little bit about that, and I did not know that they were talking about you, if that was one of the guys that they were talking about. So that's super cool, dude. That's really cool. The full circle. That's how we do things here.
Yeah. And then, so now when Loggerhead came up, time to do Loggerhead. Now this is even in Kickstarter mode, I reached out to Walter from Metal Shark Bro, the artist.
Yeah.
And asked him, hey, would you like to do a cover for my guy?
Yeah, I saw that.
He did it. And then I also, through Scout, I did a cover for a book called Planet Caravan from Stefano Cardicelli in Italy.
Okay.
I did a variant cover for his book, and he did a variant cover for the Loggerhead book that is now the web store exclusive at Scout.
That's
so it's
awesome.
All like...
Yeah, coming
it's
full
all
circle.
Symbiotic.
Heck yeah, man! And I think I saw all three of those. I can't remember which covers I grabbed, but I grabbed one of the. I think I grabbed your cover. But I saw the other ones and I was trying to make a decision. I was like, which one do I go with? Because they're all pretty freaking cool, dude. But I think I had to have your cover because I watched you create that cover.
Which one? Because I did two.
The regular.
I did the one where he's doing like this.
With the blood. Yeah, that's one of the exclusives.
That's
right?
the direct retailer. And then I did the Venom.
Oh, you know what? I think I might have grabbed that one.
The Venom homage cover where he's kind of hunched over that guy who's on the ground.
Yeah.
That's a Spider-Man 316 homage.
Yes, I think I grabbed the one with the blood. That's the one that I grabbed is the
Here's the story behind that. So I already had more covers than Scout should have allowed. Like I already had an A cover, a B cover,
yeah,
a exclusive cover. And then I had, because when I was doing my Kickstarter, I had all these covers lined up from other artists, mm-hmm. but Scout couldn't take them on. They're like, we don't publish 18 million covers for one book.
Okay.
So yeah, they picked the ones that we did. And then the other covers were just art that people created and submitted to me, like this one here by Caesar Crawford.
Yeah.
So this was going to be on the Kickstarter book, but it turns out once the book was picked up by Scout,
Tell our listeners what you're showing on there.
I'm sorry. I'm holding it up. It's the Action Comics variant done by Caesar Crawford with Loggerhead holding up a car, and it looks much like the first appearance of Superman.
Super cool.
That was just gifted to me from Caesar while I was preparing for my Kickstarter. He said, "Hey man, check out, I drew your character if you want to use it for a cover." I said, "Fine." That was rude, but I didn't say fine. I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, man. So I was going to have it as a cover, but without the Kickstarter, I can't have that many covers. Mm-hmm. So when Scout opted to buy the book or to publish the book for me, I said, hey, I've got these like five covers that I was going to use. Mm-hmm. Can we show them to retailers? And if they choose to use one of these cover as their retail exclusive. And so Caesar's got picked up.
Wow.
To use for a shop in Texas. And then one morning, just I was going to bed and I was like, dude, I want to do like an 8-bit style.
Yeah.
So I went to bed and I started thinking about how to do 8-bit, because you can't really draw 8-bit, or I can't.
Yeah.
So I have to figure out how to do it in Adobe Illustrator. So the next morning I woke up and looked up Adobe Illustrator tutorials on how to do 8-bit art. Mm-hmm. And I created the 8-bit art Loggerhead cover for a Super Mario Brother homage.
Yeah.
So I did that and I just posted it online. I was like, hey, look what I did this morning, because I needed to get the idea out of my head. Well, at that point, one of the guys at Scout had seen what I did and pitched it to a retailer that they know is heavy into gaming and would appreciate the cover. And by the end of the day, it was committed to that was going to be an alternate cover for their versions of Loggerhead.
Wow. That's super cool, man. And then it is, man. You just put it out there and if people love it, they'll get it.
Sit back and say, I made this, and wait for something to happen.
Exactly.
I made this for absolutely no reason. I made this the 8-bit cover. Nobody asked for it. Nobody was asking. But I was like, you know what? That sounds like it'd be something fun. And you put it out into the universe, and sometimes good shit happens.
Yeah, that's super, super cool, man. And like you said, you can't sit stagnant, because you got to get the juices flowing and put it out there. And if somebody likes it, they'll snatch it up, man.
Well, you got to be hungry.
Yeah.
At this level, this indie level.
Yeah.
Like if you're not moving and shaking and posting on social media and doing all kinds of stuff, then you will quickly be forgotten about, because there's 10 other motherfuckers that are doing it.
Yeah, it's absolutely true, man. That's to say the least. So those are some great, great covers that you've done. And I love the covers that you've done. What do you have anything else coming up pretty soon? I know you got this and you're still kind of riding this wave a little bit here.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 2 days, but I mean, come on, I'm already on to the next thing.
You work pretty fast, man. I mean, come on.
I've been told that, like, I can have you give me the idea and I'll sleep on it, and by it within 24 hours, I can deliver a fully finished cover for your comic book that's been inked, colored, ready for publication. I've done that, and people are like, holy shit, man, I didn't expect you to be able to pull that off.
Right.
But no, so right now I've also got a cover out for a book called Assassin and Son.
Yes.
So for those that don't know, Assassin and Son was written by Shad, who's a former wrestler that died, you know, a month or two ago, and trying to save his son from the undertow in the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, he had already signed the deal with Scout to have that book published. And then when he passed, I'm a big wrestling fan.
Same here,
and I had already talked to Scout about trying to get a cover. But at that time, Shad already had, he had the ends to get better covers than what I could do. But now to do a commemorative cover, Scout said, hey, Brian, can you do this commemorative cover? And that's how we ended up with the cover now that's on sale, with all the proceeds going to benefit his family for his early loss.
That's really, really cool. Cause when I heard about this and I took a look at the book, and I leaned over to my wife, I said, hey, do you remember this guy? Do you remember this team that he was on? And I named off the couple teams that he was on. And she was like,
it was all about Crime Time.
Yeah, Crime Time. And she's like, yeah, I remember that. I was like, he passed away not too long ago, and he's got a book that's coming out, and it's super, super cool. And it was a sad story. I read the story, and what a great guy. You know, I mean, that's just what any father would do, right? I mean, what a great guy. And sad story. But
I was honored to let Scout have me do the cover. Like, if you actually look at the cover, there's no Brian Silverback signature anywhere on the cover because I was like, dude, I don't want to dirty that up. Like, the image is the image and says what it needs to say. Exactly. I don't need to dirty that up with the little initials in the bottom or anything.
Completely understand that, man.
I got that. But on a less down note, but honestly, go buy that and support the
loss,
you know, help his kid out. So
But we'll throw all that information down below for our listeners and stuff, so they can check that out.
So what am I working on? Well, currently I'm working on an undisclosed team up book with Loggerhead.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Loggerhead is in my mind teamed up with a character who has already had a published series.
Okay.
He's a main character from another smaller series that I'm not allowed to talk about.
All right.
But so these two characters are meeting for the first time, and they go on a 20-page adventure inside the comic book. Like, it's just a one-off. Mm-hmm. It's just you get a little bit more Loggerhead, and the other main character gets a little bit more exposure, even though their series is already finished.
Yeah.
But it's a fun little, like, odd couple.
That sounds super cool.
So it's already been written. I've already worked with there's an artist that I work with named Brian Dawson, who does layouts and stuff like that. So he did all the layouts for all the 20 pages, and now I'm inking the 20 pages. So I'm on page 6.
Super cool, man. I can't wait for that to come out.
You ready for some more goodness?
Yeah, man. So when is that one slated to come out? Do you guys know yet?
I haven't officially. There's I don't know if it's red tape. We'll call it like some orange tape I have to get through.
All right.
To make sure that it happens. But we're going to try to get it done by the end of the year.
Okay.
Or in everybody's hands by the end of the year.
Okay. Good news.
Like, my goal is to have it done by the end of August. Like, the work.
Mm-hmm.
But then, well, you know, however that works. But so the next project after that. So the next project after that is Apex.
Yes.
And that's a character that lives in the same universe with Loggerhead. Okay. And Apex, it's weird, but he's a big killer shark man. I'm not just going to do animal creatures, I promise.
Yeah.
But he's a big killer shark man. And so it's a one-shot story about, like, all these one-shot stories with Loggerhead and Apex and several other characters are just for the reader to be able to understand a little bit about the character. They're not like full origin stories. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of like an intro to the character, because Brian is writing. He's also going to put together like this huge graphic novel story that uses all these characters. And so this is like so that you have a better understanding when you read the graphic novel. You'll be like, oh, I kind of already know Loggerhead. I kind of already know Apex.
Yeah.
And then you're not struggling for who the characters are while you're trying to enjoy the cool graphic novel. So overall, there's a big graphic novel planned.
Nice. I can't wait, man. This is.
I'm doing a female character, right? So I've already written this as well, and it's already been edited. There's a female character named Vegas, and I am working with a very talented artist who has not done anything professionally in comic books yet, but her stuff is amazing. And Elise Strong is going to be doing the artwork, all the interior artwork for the Vegas book.
Okay.
So that is going to be magical because her female work is really, really, really good.
Nice.
My female work is not really, 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 really good. So if I was going to have a female story, it's obvious I'm not going to be the one drawing it.
Yeah.
And this is, again, an opportunity for me to try to bring someone else in. Like, why should I go to someone who's already kind of broken their way in?
Yeah.
When I can help this person out, you know, that I've known for years and like I've worked with her and we've sat next to each other at conventions for 2 or 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And now I have an opportunity to say, hey, do you want to work with me? And to me, that's what's fun about it, is building the relationships and putting everybody together, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man.
So it's exciting for me simply to try to pull all these, to be able to have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Love it, man. Love it, man. Keeping busy. That's the way to do it, especially among this crazy time of the world. Right. So,
there's a lot of downtime for those that want to use it.
Yeah.
You know, I was hoping that
not for you
when this, yeah. So I've got three scripts in different stages. I've got one that's in my head that has a need to get out, and it's totally not in the Loggerhead world.
And we've seen what you can come up with when you got to get something out, man.
I got to stay. The hard part is being able to afford paying for the product. Like, I've got to pay the female, the Elise.
Yeah.
I've got to pay her. I've got to pay Brian to do the layouts. I've got to pay the letterer. I've got to pay the editor.
Yeah.
You know, where's this money? I don't know. My commissions is kind of where all the, if I don't get commissions, I don't get to keep making books and stuff.
Do you think that you're going to take it back to Kickstarter anytime soon?
I'm working on something now. I've got an idea. I did a Year Zero handbook. Year Zero was what I was calling the world that Loggerhead lived in.
Okay.
But I've had to change the name. So it can't be Year Zero anymore because there's already a comic book that just came out called Year Zero.
Okay.
So I have to step back.
Yeah.
So we're calling it Kara Prime. But I want to see if Scout will let me be able to publish Loggerhead in that handbook. Because since we both, they own they got publishing rights for 5 years. So I need to have their permission to include him in the book. And the book will give you the backstory of the World War III. You know, do you remember the old Marvel Universe handbook where they'd be like 6-4 secret identity?
Oh, yeah.
First appearance. That's what the handbook is. So it's nothing but a bunch of characters that live in the world and kind of like a small backstory.
I think I've seen you kind of post a couple of different things of that nature. Yes. So, yeah. I think I saw one with where you had Apex in there and it had his height and all his everything to do with him. That's super cool. Yeah.
So that's the handbook that I want to try to work with the guys at Scout and see if they'll let me put together a Kickstarter.
Okay. Yeah.
And then this way, what I'll do for the Kickstarter is I'll have a artist do covers that want to be a part of the project. And maybe I'll make a little bit of money that I can pay to have the next book.
Super cool, man. I'm super excited for Loggerhead. I'm excited for all these great things coming out very soon for you, man. So you got all that stuff going on. Can you tell everybody where they can find you on your social media and all that good stuff?
Yes, I would greatly appreciate some Instagram love for Brian, Bryan Silverbacks, Silver BAX. Awesome. And that's that. So you look that up on Instagram, you look that up on Twitter, and you look that up on Facebook, and you'll find me. If you just type in Google Brian Silverbacks, you're going to get my t-shirt sites and all kinds of other stuff that I've got going on. It's crazy.
That's
maybe
awesome.
Even my IMDb page. But so just follow me on whatever your favorite social media is, and just every now and then throw a little heart my way and maybe a little share, and I'd greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So because I've seen tons of great stuff coming from those socials. That's where I saw all the cool stuff that you got coming out. So you get a little bit of insight into what's to come next, man. So that's really cool.
And that's a good way to get in touch with me to commission work also, by the way.
So. Yes. So you guys want to commission some great artwork, head on over to his social media accounts and do that. Hey, Brian, I appreciate you coming by. And yes, he's got blank covers and all that good stuff.
I got them for you, baby.
I'd love to get one of those and have you do an Apex on there for me, man. That would be dope.
And that's part of the reason I want to do. Yeah, we'll talk.
We'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk some more. We'll talk off air. All right. Thanks again for hanging out with me here on the House of Indie, Brian.
Thank you for having me on the House of Indie podcast.
We've been trying to do this for a minute, man, and we finally got to do it. And all that crazy stuff we had to deal with before getting on.
Yeah, there was a little hour of twiddling thumbs, but
we did it. We did it, man. Thanks again for listening to The House of Indie. My name is Joey Galvez, and I'll see you later.